Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Haven't seen you or really anybody in a long time. But it's doing great.
Yeah, before Katie and I started recording the podcast, we caught up for a hot second. We got so involved in conversation because we never see each other, and normally we're next to one another physically. We're like, we got to get the Pop Shop recorded. We can't stop we have to stop blathering.
I was like, oh, right, we're not actually recording right now. We should probably do that.
It's like, it's too late in the day. All right, well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on the latest pop news, a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news about how The Weeknd holds at number one on both the Billboard 200 Albums chart and the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, plus news on how new albums from 5 Seconds of Summer and Dua Lipa hit the top 10 on the Billboard 200.
Plus, we have news about the upcoming Lady Gaga-curated coronavirus benefit concert, and we're going to break down some very early, super premature contenders for next year's Grammy Awards.
Is it ever too early for this?
No, we love talking about this stuff. So yeah, for the 2021 Grammy Awards, we've got your back. We're already starting to think about it. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Okay, let's do the chart chat. First up on the Billboard 200 Albums chart, The Weeknd's After Hours holds at number one for a second week, while a bevy of albums hit the top 10. Plus, the album's Blinding Lights rules the Hot 100 Songs chart for a second week. After Hours earned 138,000 equivalent album units in the United States in the week ending April 2nd, according to Nielsen Music MRC data. A week ago, it arrived atop the tally with the year's biggest week, 444,000 units. It's a popular album. Also in the top 10 on the Billboard 200, 5 Seconds of Summer's Calm zooms from number 62 to number 2, landing the band their fifth top 10 effort, all of which have actually reached the top two. Dua Lipa gets her first top 10 album with the number 4 arrival of her new album, Future Nostalgia, and Pearl Jam's Gigaton debuts at number 5, and it's the 11th studio album from the band, and now all 11 of their studio sets have reached the top 5 on the chart. But wait, there's more! Party Next Door's latest album, Party Mobile, starts at number 8, while rapper Joyner Lucas sees his first studio set, ADHD, debut at number 10.
It might be Party Mobile.
Party Mobile?
I'm not positive, so I'm just going to say that because then we have both of our bases covered if it's Party Mobile or Mobile.
Actually, Party Mobile makes more sense, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I've been reading it as Party Mobile when I've been editing stories.
I don't know why I thought Party Mobile.
I mean, you know, a mobile party.
I was thinking that it's like a mobile party. Well, but you're thinking if it's like a car.
Yeah.
Oh dear. He's never going to be on the podcast now. Jesus.
But he can get Rihanna on his album, so he's doing okay for himself.
Yeah, he's fine. He doesn't need our help. He's fine.
Well, I felt like we needed to definitely talk about the big news about the coronavirus benefit concert curated by Lady Gaga that came out on Monday morning. So the World Health Organization and Global Citizen announced that they've teamed up for One World Together at Home, an international concert special, which is going to air on April 18th to support and applaud healthcare workers in the fight against the coronavirus. And
so this is another just about in. Is this like another like ACM presents Our Country and the Elton John thing? Is that what we're thinking this is like, or is it going to be more elaborate somehow?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's definitely going to be more of the remote performances from, you know, these stars' homes, considering that's, you know, where we're still at. And also because the title Together at Home echoes what Global Citizen has been doing with their live streams from artists' homes on Instagram up to this point as well. And as one might expect from, you know, the lineup being curated by Gaga, it is a star-packed event, and it will feature Alanis Morissette, Andrea Bocelli, Billie Eilish, Billie Joe Armstrong, Burna Boy, Chris Martin, David Beckham, Eddie Vedder, Elton John, Phineas, Idris and Sabrina Elba, J Balvin, John Legend, Casey Musgraves, Keith Urban, Kerry Washington, Long Long, Lizzo, Maluma, Paul McCartney, Priyanka Chopra Jonas, Shah Rukh Khan, and Stevie Wonder. And then it will be hosted by Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Stephen Colbert, alongside the cast of Sesame Street.
Woo. No love for Conan O'Brien or
James
Samantha
Corden.
B, James Corden. Also, are some of these people just going to show up and like speak on behalf?
I didn't realize
David Beckham could sing.
I'm sure that a lot of these are not just performances. And obviously, we've been following, Idris Elba was diagnosed with coronavirus and has been really like publicly documenting his journey with it. And so I'm sure he's coming on, you know, coming from that perspective, and probably not going to DJ a set like he did when he opened for Madonna. But, you know, we'll see. Who knows? He is musically talented, so maybe he will.
He was in Cats after all, so maybe he can do a number from Cats.
So this is going to air Saturday, April 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's going to be on a lot of major networks, ABC, NBC, Viacom, CBS networks, iHeartMedia, and Bell Media networks, and it will also stream on basically all the major platforms you could think of: Amazon Prime, Apple, Facebook, Instagram, Tidal, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. Obviously, they want as many people to see this and donate and be involved as possible. So Lady Gaga, she actually got on a virtual press conference with the World Health Organization on Monday and said, "We are all so very grateful to the healthcare professionals across the country and the world. This global pandemic is a catastrophe. I'm praying for them and also those who are sick. I would like to send my prayers to people who are losing their jobs and having a hard time feeding themselves and their children." So once again, April 18th, tune in for that one. Definitely a can't miss lineup, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very different kind of lineup. It's almost like a lineup. It's like a very kind of Grammy-ish lineup in a way.
And you can tell that it's international as well, like with some of these names too. It's a global.
There was a name I did not recognize.
Well, that's how you know that it's global.
I mean, I've never heard of this Eddie Vedder gentleman.
Right.
He sounds very exotic.
All right. So we are going to just dive into Grammy talk because, you know, it's April. So let's talk about the Grammys.
This is probably the earliest that we've ever talked about the Grammys in terms of forecasting on the show.
I guess this is how stir crazy we get when we're sitting at home. We're already ready to start forecasting the Grammys. And we are 7 months into the eligibility year, so we are more than halfway through. And so we thought we would take a look at some early contenders for the 2021 Grammys.
Yeah, we're gonna each highlight like a handful of, you know, maybe songs or albums or artists that have a great shot at getting nominated in some of the big four categories: Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best New Artist. Though I do have to point out, I don't think any of us picked a possible Best New Artist contender.
That feels like the hardest one to pick at this point, honestly.
You kind of need you need like more of the full year to kind of look at it, I think.
100%.
So there's a couple people I thought of, by the way, but I was like, I don't know. Let's see if they have more than one hit. So anyway, sorry, Katie.
Stay tuned for our Best New Artist thoughts. But the eligibility period for the 2021 Grammys runs from September 1st, 2020 through August 31st, September 1st, 2019 through August 31st, 2020. Nominations will most likely be announced in the November area, and the 2021 Grammy Awards are scheduled to take place early again on January 31st, 2021. So, Keith
2021.
And I, this, it just feels like a million years from now, but also, yeah sneaking up on us. Keith and I actually made our own short lists, and then we started comparing notes and realized we obviously overlapped on a lot. I mean, we clearly host this pop-centric show together.
We're the pop shop.
So, we had at least three of the same artists and albums. So let's just start with those first where we can, you know, chat those ones out. And so the first one being Post Malone. I specifically was looking at this the song Circles and then obviously the album as a whole, Hollywood's Bleeding. So Circles for me, that was actually released right at the end of August. So technically it could have been put in for consideration.
But they didn't.
Therefore, it is still eligible. And I feel like this is not just like a great song. I think it's Post Malone's best song ever. And he has been nominated the last 2 years for Record of the Year. And I think there is like just zero chance that Circles is not nominated for Record of the Year this year as well, for 2021.
It was just a huge hit, a huge airplay hit. It just won't go away. For all we know, it could still be in the top 10 by the time, you know, the end of the eligibility period rolls around.
Right.
I also think the albums Take What You Want, with Travis Scott and Ozzy Osbourne, has a great shot at something. Maybe outside the top four, like, I don't know what field they would put it in, like what category. Is it pop duo group? Is it rap sung? Is it rock performance? It could be any of those things. But I think Post Malone could be looking at a whole lot of nominations from this album and its songs later this year. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Album of the Year is a strong chance, too, for Hollywood's Bleeding. Another pick for Album of the Year for me was Harry Styles' Fine Line, for me and for Stevie Nicks, because she just tweeted tweeted that she literally referred to the album as Harry Styles' Rumors, referencing,
which
of course,
won Album of the Year,
her
the
own band Fleetwood Mac and their classic album. I mean, this is like, that is such a comparison, and for like the woman herself to make it and not just like a casual music observer is, I mean, Harry must have just like passed out when he saw that.
Well, now, Katie, do you think it's as good as Rumors?
Listen, I think that might be taking it a little far, but I think it does improve upon his first album, and I really liked his first album. So maybe she's saying it in the sense that, like, of your, you know, short solo catalog so far, this is your, like, you know, magnum opus, but like, it's a little early maybe to call it Rumors.
Well, also, I mean, Rumors was Stevie's second album with Fleetwood Mac. So maybe she's just saying, oh, your second album is like my second album with Fleetwood Mac.
She's being that literal.
Yeah, maybe not. Probably not.
But then I know that you and I both specifically love Adore You from the from
Yeah,
the
it
album.
Could easily be. I think that's a contender for Record of the Year. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, you know, it's weird. The Grammys are kind of funky with, you know, kind of, you know, pop acts that have come from groups, you know, and you kind of have to like prove yourself as, you know, worthy. And I really feel like he has consciously made music not thinking about sort of necessarily the commercial aspects, and kind of doing his own thing. And I think he's been justly rewarded for that with commercial success and critical success and, you know, radio airplay and the whole shebang. Like, it all really worked out. And I think he just made music that he wanted to make, and it ended up working out incredibly well all around. And I think he could be rewarded for that come Grammy time.
I agree. And Adore You, that's the one that just hit number one on pop songs, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a huge sign of success. And then you're not going to be surprised about this. Keith and I agreed about our friend of the podcast, Dua Lipa, and her just released project, Future Nostalgia.
Yes.
I mean, this album is just like so much fun. And like, it's just a hit every minute. Like, I keep trying to pick out my favorite song on the album, and it keeps changing because I like so many of them. And we actually, Billboard.com ranked all the songs, and I looked at it and I wanted to be like mad about it. But then I also was like, I don't know what I would pick if I had to rank it.
There really is Like, I tweeted, it's all killer, no filler.
Yeah.
It's, like, every one of the songs, like, legitimately could be a single. Like, they all sound like they could be singles. Like, there's no... You know how sometimes certain albums feel a little bit bloated, full of, like, filler tracks, and maybe they're just filling it out because they want, like, extra streaming activity stuck to the album?
Yeah.
She has 11 songs on the album. That's it. That's it.
It is a brisk, like, 35 minutes, and it flies by.
It's so good. Yep. Like, I mean, I will just find myself with one of the songs stuck in my head.
Yep.
And it's not even the singles yet.
Yep.
There's a song on it called Cool that gets stuck in my head all the time.
So good.
I mean, I love Physical. Like, Physical is like this amazing, amazing track, and it's not even a single in the US yet. But yeah, I think she's definitely a contender for Record of the Year with Don't Start Now,
yeah,
which is her biggest hit yet. And certainly, possibly, maybe for Album of the Year. Certainly for Pop Vocal Album. I think that's a shoe-in. But I don't know about the big one for Album of the Year, but I feel like Katie's going to overrule me there and say it's an obvious one.
It's my Album of the Year, I'll tell you that much.
I mean, I'm just thinking of that, about the Grammys. You know how they are.
I know.
But I mean, for us, yes, it is obviously like our fave.
I also just want to say one thing, just that the lyrics are so fun on it too. Like, that's the thing that you like listen, and it's just fun to listen to. But then when you actually hear the words, like, you laugh out loud at some, like, they're very cheeky and cute and clever. And I think it's just fantastic. And it's like a perfect, it's like if I had, you know, decided what direction I wanted Dua to go in, this is what it would have been. And it's great. So
yeah,
let's move on to the places that we did not overlap. And
all right,
I'm going to start with my most obvious one, because this person 100% just dominated the 2020 Grammys, and that's Billie Eilish. And since the eligibility period ended for the 2020 Grammys, she also released this fantastic song called Everything I Wanted that, like, you know, you're talking about with Harry, like, is artistic but also commercially successful, great lyrical song. And I just feel like, you know, it'll be rewarded by this group of people that, you know, are like, okay, we put a lot of, like, you know, faith in you and stock in you by giving you all four of these awards. And, like, you've already, you know, showed that you deserved it by following up your, you know, debut album with this great song. So I think that's a real strong, strong chance.
She could even get another nomination for the Bond theme song that she did for the Bond movie that's now been delayed. She's been nominated
for the Bond
for,
movie
like,
that won't even be out by the time the eligibility period ends.
There is that. But the song is out.
Yes.
And she can get a nomination for that in Best Song Written for Visual Media.
Totally.
Yeah. Here's one that Katie did not overlap with me on. I thought about the High Women's album that came out the first week of eligibility last year. The High Women is an all-star supergroup. It has Brandi Carlile, Natalie Himby, Maren Morris, and Amanda Shires. Already, it, you know, just by that pedigree, you're like, well, that's sort of a no-brainer. You know, there could be the chance, because it came out so long ago, it might not be very fresh in people's minds, and everyone has sort of moved on to something else. But there could be a place for it in maybe like some of the Americana country kind of folk categories. But you never know. Grammys are weird sometimes. They throw curveballs, you know, in the top categories. So you never know. I think that's a contender.
I think that'll get some love, especially just, yeah, the pedigree of all the women in the group individually and then put together. So I think you're very right. Spot on with that. And keeping on the country theme, I wanted to bring up Luke Combs, who put out his album, What You See Is What You Get, in November. And it has one of my favorite country songs of the last year, and one, like, probably my favorite Luke Combs song ever, and that's Beer Never Broke My Heart. So that actually came out or was released in May, and I feel like I need to ask our awards expert, Paul, whether he knows if they submitted it for a country song award last year. It did not get nominated, I know that.
I want to point out, like, I don't think either Record or Album of the Year this past year had any country nominees, did it?
That is correct, and Paul actually brought that up in his Album of the Year predictions, because he's out here predicting things as well, so check that out on billboard.com. He brought that up and said that it would be really super rare that there would be 2 years in a row with no country representatives, so Luke just feels like a really, you know, strong chance in this category.
Yeah, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think if you're talking Grammys, you have to think about Lady Gaga. And I love Stupid Love. We had an entire podcast about why we think pop music needs Lady Gaga right now and her Stupid Love. I think it's a great song. I think it's a great single. It's super catchy. I'm super looking forward to her album whenever it decides to come out instead of April 10th. And it was supposed to be April 10th, and now we're not getting it for who knows how long. But I'm looking forward to the album anxiously. But in the meantime, I think the song itself, the single itself, is certainly has to be in the conversation for Record of the Year. Of course, until Lady Gaga puts out another single that, you know, maybe overtakes Stupid Love in terms of, you know, the popularity or, you know, Grammy-ness of it. But I feel like Gaga is in the conversation, as always, for the big four categories.
And she always should be. And you mentioned Record of the Year for Stupid Love. My final person that I wanted to highlight is The Weeknd. And for me, Blinding Lights is such a fun song. I'm super happy that this one climbed its way up to number one because it was released last year. And I think when it first came out, it was released at the same time as Heartless. And that was the one that kind of like popped first. And so I thought Blinding Lights kind of got like left in the dust, but actually was just having this like slow burn this whole time, like all the way up to the release of The Weeknd's new album After Hours. And now it's getting like the proper shine, oh, no pun intended, that it deserves. And I feel like on the same wavelength as Dua, where they've really brought back these super fun 80s sounds, but also made them really modern. It's like just it feels like a really fun time in pop music and to listen to the radio right now because everything just feels upbeat and cool and retro. And I think this song and this album, you know, really contribute to that right now. So I feel like he's going to get some love.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's just, you know, some possibilities 8 months into the year, 7 months into the year, 7 months into the eligibility year for the 2027 Grammy Awards. No,
yeah, right.
2021 Grammys.
Next week, we'll talk about the 2022 Grammys.
2022. We don't even know what's going to come out, but we're just going to assume Kanye might have an album.
Yeah, sure.
You never know. Sure. Okay. Well, now it's time for the chart set of the week. This week in 1977, ABBA got its first and only number one hit on the Hot 100 with Dancing Queen. You may say ABBA, some may say ABBA. You can call them either. The track climbed 2-1 on the list dated April 9th, 1977, and spent 1 week at number one. Just don't call them Party Mobile. Now, you know, ABBA is one of those acts where you know their hits are so beloved and you've heard them for years. You think they actually probably charted higher on the Hot 100 than they actually did. So a song like Mamma Mia peaked at number 32. Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight, so famously sampled in Madonna's Hung Up, didn't even chart on the Hot 100. And Knowing Me, Knowing You, peaked at number 14. Now, that said, they did actually have other top 10 hits that we all know and love, including Waterloo, Take a Chance on Me, and The Winner Takes It All. But there you go. There you have it. This week in 1977, Dancing Queen hit number one on the Hot 100 chart. Okay.
Such a good song.
You're just young and sweet, only 17.
Although it makes me think of that movie. What's the Australian movie?
It's called Mamma Mia, and it has Meryl Streep in it.
No, I'm talking about Muriel's Wedding. Yeah, that movie is so like weird and tragic.
It's like tragic, depressing, but it's all set to ABBA music.
Yeah, not what I expected at all.
So was Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. You know, I think Muriel's Wedding and Priscilla, Queen of the Desert have, you know, a lot to do with the ABBA resurgence in the 90s.
Man, many movies like based around ABBA music. It's wild.
Fun 10-second side note. I went to see Muriel's Wedding in the theater in Santa Monica only because I knew that Madonna's video for Bedtime Story was premiering in the trailers for that movie.
Oh, wow.
And then I stayed and watched the rest of the movie.
That's a great
people
story.
In the audience were like, what the hell is this? What is this? I'm like, it's Madonna on the big screen. My God, look at the special effects.
Okay, so anyway, you should pick a song from that album then to be song we go out on.
Oh, well, we go out on Bedtime Story, because that was the video that I saw before.
Oh, it's literally the video for Bedtime Story.
Yeah.
That's so great. That's the one we're going out on then.
Okay, see you guys next time.
Bye. Let's get unconscious, honey.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.